Welcome to another episode of Straight Talk with my OBMD. I'm your host, Dr. Dana Smith, proud founder of the website myobmd.org. At myobmd.org, you will find all content related to your health. Everything that you will see, read, and hear on myobmd.org are written by physicians, so you can trust the content you will find on our website. On today's episode of Straight Talk with My OBMD podcast, we are going to be talking about resolutions, and in particular, New Year's resolution. Okay, what are they? How do we keep them? What are the traits of those who keep them? And how we can do a better job ourselves? So stay tuned. Welcome to Straight Talk with My OBMD podcast. Join me for a bi-weekly discussion on topics most relevant to women's health today. We are your source for medically accurate, real-world advice in all things related to your health and well-being as a woman. From menses to menopause, we've got you covered. I'm your host, Dr. Dana Smith, a fully practicing, board-certified OBGYN physician with close to 20 years experience. I am also the founder of the website that is 100% dedicated to women's health, myobmd.org. At myobmd.org, we write in all aspects related to women's health. Listen to our podcast, visit our website, subscribe to our newsletter, and follow us on Facebook and Instagram, myobmd.org. Welcome back to Straight Talk with My OBMD, and I'm your host again, Dr. Dana Smith, board-certified OBGYN physician. So, we're going to be talking about New Year's resolution. How many of us make them? How many of us keep them? Let's first by start talking about what is the definition. How do we define it? So a resolution is a promise to do something differently. That could be anything. In most cases, that promise involves either fitness, improving mental health, or something financial, mainly getting better finances or getting a better control of our finances or building our wealth. Something of that nature. Nobody wants to be broke, so nobody makes that resolution. So we are going to be talking about New Year's resolution. And a New Year's resolution is a promise to do something differently in the new year. So who is that promise made to? That's a promise that we make to ourselves. So you make a promise to yourself. I make a promise to myself that I will do XYZ better in this new year. That could be, I could be more physically fit. I'm going to meditate more, 10 minutes every day. I'm going to check my bank statements more often so I could be more financially astute, let's say. So whatever the case may be, it's doing something that we feel the need to do, we feel is necessary to do, but for whatever reason, we have not been doing it. So this habit or this practice of a resolution actually dates back to at least the 19th century. For some people, they say they have evidence that even people from the 17th century made New Year's resolution. So this is not something that is unique to our generation, not by far. What's also not unique to our generation is breaking these habits, breaking these resolutions. Even back then, people broke them. People broke their resolutions just like we did. So we can feel better in that, right? We can feel better that, hey, I'm not the only one. But let's be one of the few that actually keep our resolution. How about that? We know that about 38% of adults make New Year's resolution, about 54% of parents, and only 40% of people in the Gen Z generation makes New Year's resolution. I guess they're doing everything perfectly. So, hey, they may not need to make resolution. But for us folks who are making resolution, the statistics is sobering. Only 9% of us keep our resolution all year long, right? That's pretty bad. Less than 10%. Oh my goodness. That's a punch in the gut. That's really not that great statistic. So how can we be a part of that 9% and hopefully build that statistics up some, okay? Let's make our generation proud. Well, what are some of the ways that we can be successful in keeping our resolution? The first is to make SMART goals. Okay, so what are SMART goals? You may have heard this phrase before. SMART goals is an acronym, S-M-A-R-T. S, make goals that are specific. M, make goals that are measurable. 3, make goals that are achievable. 4, make goals that are relevant. And T, make goals that are time bound, meaning you give yourself a deadline. Most of the goals that are made are achieved within a short period of the deadline. So goals that do not have a deadline are really just dreams. You must give yourself a deadline. Okay? You have to give yourself certain deadlines. It doesn't mean that you'll necessarily achieve it, but you'll achieve the most when you give yourself that deadline. So a non-specific goal is, I want to just be more financially astute. Okay? A great goal, but very, very non-specific. Okay? Now, let's see how we can phrase that. We can rephrase that into making that a specific goal. Let's say the goal focuses more on the activity rather than the end result even. So let's say you make a goal of, I want to look at my credit card statement or my bank statement daily, weekly, monthly, whatever the case may be. Okay? That is my resolution. I will look at something and review it on a X, Y, or Z time scale, whether daily, weekly, monthly. Try not to do yearly, please. So that is a specific goal. Okay? It's very specific. Another goal is, I want to be healthier, or I want to lower my cholesterol, right? By 20 points, let's say. I want to lower my cholesterol so I won't have to take these cholesterol medicines anymore. That's a fantastic goal. However, it is not specific, right? Because what can you do? What is the activity? Again, you have to focus on the activity. So, I am going to lower my cholesterol by reducing my dairy intake, or by not eating fast food, or however you choose to reduce your cholesterol. Okay? But again, it must be a specific goal. The second measure, it has to be measurable. Okay? So you want to reduce your cholesterol by what goal? Okay, by what, how many points? And here it's important to make sure that you're being realistic. Okay, it's very difficult to reduce your cholesterol by 50 points. I'm not saying you can't do it, but it's really, that may be challenging to do. So start by making a measurable goal in small quantities. So you may say, you know, doc, I want to reduce my cholesterol. Is it okay for me to come in and have it checked every 3 months rather than every year so I can keep tabs on it to make sure I'm doing a good job? So then you say, hey, I want to reduce my cholesterol by 20 points over the 1 year. So that becomes by 5 points every quarter. And so every quarter, you may want to go in and you check your HDL, your LDL, your total cholesterol, and you do a cholesterol panel to see how you're doing on that particular goal. So again, you want to find something, you want to make a goal that is measurable. You also want to do something that is achievable, right? You don't want to make a goal, I'm going to run a marathon, when you haven't walked 5 miles straight for the whole entire year, the previous year. That is not a realistically achievable goal, and trying to achieve that will likely result in injury. So you want to, again, make small baby steps that will create some level of achievement. So rather than saying, hey, I want to run a marathon this year, when you know you have not exercised very well or even at all in the previous year, you may want to say, hey, my goal is to walk for X number of minutes each day or X number of minutes each week, okay? So you want to make something that is achievable, and you want to write that down. You want to track it. You want to write it down. Another way to make SMART goal is to make something that is relevant to you. So relevant to you is going to be different for each person because that is individualized. So something that is relevant to you could very well be, let's say you say, hey, this year I'm really feeling like last year was a really stressful year for me, and this year I'm going to really get a handle on that stress. That, again, is a great goal, not very specific. So in that case, you want to really take some time to reflect, what are some of the sources of stress in your life? Which of these sources can I remove? Can I just get rid of? Okay? That's the easiest way to deal with stress. The ones that you can get rid of it. Okay? If it is a stressful source that you are not able to simply get rid of, can you mitigate it? Can you somehow reduce the amount of stress that that source provides? And this is what I mean. So let's say you have a commute. Your commute is stressful because you're just in traffic. It stresses you out. You're sweating bullets. Am I going to get to work on time? Am I going to get to this event on time? Can you change that timing so that you are no longer dealing with that source of stress? So can you change it? Can you change your commute time so that I'm in front of traffic or I'm behind traffic? I'm making changes at work so that I may not have to get there. I'm making changes so that I do not have to deal with the stress of the traffic. Okay, so that's one way of getting rid of that stressful event. Okay, if you have a stressor, let's say something that you can mitigate. Okay, so it may be that you have a coworker that is just, it's a challenge for you. Not that the person is a bad person, but it's just a challenge for you and this person to really gel and really kind of get along. Okay, can you perhaps try to see the benefits or the positive in that person to reduce that source of angst during your interactions? Or are you able to change your job dynamics to avoid the interaction with that person? So avoiding the interaction is removing the stressor. Changing your mindset towards that person is mitigating that stressor. So those are different ways that we're choosing goals or resolutions that are meaningful to us that will be impactful as well. They're relevant. And again, you want to make a resolution that is time bound. So you may say, hey, you know, I may not be able to change my schedule at work every day. Maybe I could change it for 2 days of the week, for instance. Okay. Or I am going to reduce my stress and I'm going to allow myself X number of days or weeks before I reassess the level of stress in my life. Okay. The same for your health journey. I'm going to allow myself X number of days, X number of weeks before I reassess to see how well I'm doing. And I'm giving myself a time limit in which I need to have a measurable response. So those are some of the ways in which you make resolutions that you're more likely to keep. You want to be specific, you want to make them measurable, achievable, relevant, and you want to create a time limit to them, okay? Now, regardless of how well we plan out these resolutions and we're going to do so great, I'm so pumped, things happen and obstacles are going to get in our way. So the best way to deal with an obstacle is as much as you can plan ahead for the obstacle. So when you see it, you recognize it and you already have a plan in place in your mind as to how to handle that obstacle. So if your resolution is to work out more, well, where are you going to find the time to do it? Okay, what are some of the obstacles with that? I just do not have the time. So you want to plan ahead. Okay, when I have a really busy week, I have a lot of demands. How can I still get my fitness goals in, despite me having a busy week, okay? How am I gonna be able to, for instance, maintain that goal of lowering my cholesterol when I have not had chance of food preparation prior to going to work or prior to doing whichever, because the food we eat outside tends to have more fat and more, it just tends to be unhealthier than the food we prepare at home. So how are we going to handle that? How are you going to handle that? So planning ahead for anticipated obstacle is one way of successfully dealing with that, okay? Another measure of success is to buddy up. You want to get a partner. Whatever the goal may be, you share that with someone, preferably someone who is optimistic and tends to be a positive person. You know, we all have different personalities, and some people are more optimistic than others. Let me just say it nicely. Some people are more optimistic than others, and you wanna share your goals with the ones that are more optimistic, because the less optimistic person may kind of drown your dreams. So try to, as much as you can, buddy up with someone who is on the more optimistic side. And if you are one of the persons who are not the more optimistic person, then try to find ways to be more optimistic so that you can be more faithful, you can have more faith in yourself, in your strength, in accomplishing the goals, in accomplishing these resolutions that you're setting forth, okay? Because it will not happen if you do not believe you are capable of doing it. So you definitely do have to have a sense of faith and optimism in your own strength and in your own abilities to accomplish that. The fourth way to get to success is to monitor. You cannot measure your progress without monitoring your progress. So regardless of what that may be, you want to find some way. That brings us back to the measurable part of our goals. You want to find some way that you are going to measure what it means to be successful to you. So even something as little, not something as little, but something as imprecise or something as intangible as stress can still be measured, right? Because you can measure your, if you are having anger outbursts, the number of outbursts you're having, how many outbursts were you averaging before, how many are you having now. We can keep a diary of our feelings. We can keep a diary of our activity, whether that be our physical activity. If you want to reduce your screen time, for instance, your dependence on electronic devices, you can keep a diary of that activity. If you want to be healthier, you can keep a food log as well as a diary of your physical activity. So whatever the case may be, you want to find some way to measure your progress. And by measuring your progress, you will know if the steps you're taking are effective so that you can make adjustments sooner rather than later. The fifth point of creating goals for success is to celebrate the small victories. So don't wait for the, the fantastic endpoint before throwing yourself a big party. No, you want to celebrate if you've done a great job. You were able to get your boss to agree to changing your schedule to avoid that commute. Celebrate that. You advocated for yourself in order to improve your mental health and well-being. And that is worth celebrating. You did not just allow it to flow as it has been. So that is something worth celebrating. So you celebrate those small victories, okay? The sixth aspect of success in resolution is to shore up your support. Share your goals with friends and family that you know are supportive. That will go a long way because you are not always going to feel at your highest level of optimism. And at those points, you are going to need to call on someone to use their strength, use their faith, and their optimism to help you build yours back up. And so you want to shore up your support, okay? The seventh aspect is to change things up, okay? Now, especially when it comes to, for instance, even weight loss journey, we all know what it means to eat healthy and to exercise, but you want to just kind of change things up every now and then so you're not bored. Okay, so if you always walk the same route, maybe try a different route. If you always do the same activities at the gym, maybe try something else. So you want to have some variety so that you don't get dull. Your routine doesn't get dull and boring. And then that may then reduce your motivation for doing that activity. So the variety is helpful in keeping yourself motivated. The eighth point I want to make is that small setbacks are normal. We are human. I don't know of any goal where you will go in a stepwise fashion consistently without, on occasion, taking one or two steps backward. It happens. We're human. Acknowledge what has happened, determine why it happened, resolve to do better next time as much as you are able to, create a plan or a strategy to deal with that issue that set you up for that setback so that the next time that occurs, you're prepared. You're at least prepared, okay? The ninth thing is you really want to have some positive vibes. So this goes along with some of what I said before. You want to increase your connectivity with positive relationships. Whatever the goal may be, you want to improve or increase or shore up, strengthen your positive relationships. And as you strengthen your positive relationship with relationships with others, you're making sure that you're also a source of positivity for the people in your sphere of influence. So you know that when they call on you, you're going to be that source of strength for them as well when they may be feeling down. And the 10th and final aspect of shoring up our success for our New Year's resolution is to determine your big why. Your big why. Why is it important to lower your cholesterol? Why is it important to improve your financial acuity? Why are these things important to you? Keep in mind, the first answer you give yourself is unlikely to be the big why. You have to keep asking yourself, why? Why do I want to improve my financial knowledge? Okay. Oh, I'm tired of losing money. I want to save more. Why do you want to save more? Oh, I want to be able to make a purchase, or I want to be able to have a good retirement savings in place. Why is that important to you? Well, if I don't do this, I don't know when and if I'll be able to retire. I don't know when and if I'll be able to be financially independent in my golden years. I don't want to be financially dependent on others or children or anybody else during that stage of life. I don't want to be burdened by debt. The debt is making me feel, it's creating a heavy burden, and I want to be relieved from that. So you want to keep going, keep asking yourself, why? Why is this important? Just keep asking yourself that until you get to your big why. Once you get to that big why, write it down. Write it down somewhere where you can see it daily. So you can be reminded when you are feeling down, when you are feeling discouraged, you can now remind yourself why this journey is important. You did not take on this journey because it is easy. You took on this journey because it is important. That doesn't mean it will be easy. So remind yourself of that. Remind yourself that, hey, when I took on this journey, I believed in myself that I could do it, and I still have that belief. So keep reminding yourself of that. Keep doing the activities that you are doing that you have set out to do. Keep a record of those activities. Celebrate your victories. Shore up your support with your friends and your family, and get to it. Share with me, share with us, what are some of your New Year's resolution? And what are some of the things that you are doing to increase your chances of being successful? We'd love to hear it. Thanks for listening to another episode of Straight Talk with My OBMD. Again, I'm your host, Dr. Dana Smith, and I'm so honored to have the opportunity to share with you 30 minutes of your time. I thank you for that. Until next time, this is Dr. Dana Smith. Thank you for listening to another episode of Straight Talk with My OBMD podcast. To learn more about this topic, visit our website at myobmd.org. Subscribe to our newsletter, follow us on Facebook and Instagram. I can't wait to spend more time with you on our next episode of Straight Talk with My OBMD.